Right, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to grab them. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You notice I've got a little bit of a voice issue going on. Been a little down this week and getting on the other side of it. And so I preached at 8 o'clock this morning, and I just decided that I can't get as excited here at 10:45, okay? So I'm going to temper it a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23. If you're new to Champion Forest, we just started this study in the book of Ephesians last week. It's going to take us 12 weeks all the way up to the summer with a little break for Easter in between. And today, the second message in this series, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. In 2006, a man by the name of Coach Eric Taylor stood before the Dillon High School Panthers. And he made a statement before the first game of the season. Expectations were high. They were on their way to another mythical state championship. Now, if you don't know Coach Eric Taylor, this is from Friday Night Lights, the TV show, okay? And he stood before his football team. Expectations high. He's giving them, before their very first game, a pep talk. And he concludes the pep talk with just a phrase that became a theme for the Dillon Panthers. And they would recite it throughout the year. They would rally around it. He simply said, "Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose." All right? Now that's the title of the message today. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. He's in that locker room, and of course, when he says that, the players are just ready to run out. In fact, we're just going to pretend this is a locker room. You know, every week we get in the football locker room here and we have our talk. And then we go out into the world. We break the locker room. We break the huddle, if you will. And we go out into the world and make a dent for the kingdom. So just say this with me. Just entertain me, all right? You ready? The title of the message: Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. Are you not ready to go play? All right? I love Friday Night Lights. In fact, it's based off the book Friday Night Lights by H.G. Bissinger. When it came out, I was a sophomore in high school. Now, for those of you that have been around here, you know that I've told you before my love for football. That's what I thought I'd coach high school football. My dream was to play college football, and I would have if any coach asked me to, but none of them did. And I just loved the game. And when Friday Night Lights, the book, came out, I could not wait to get my hands on it. And if you've read it or you're familiar with it, I mean, it tells the story of the Permian High School football team and just the amazing story that it was. And I was just caught up in this story. In fact, true story. It's funny what you remember from your high school days. But I got my hands on this book, and I couldn't put it down. And I was in Miss Lodge's geometry class, all right? Now, Miss Lodge was tough. And I really didn't pay attention in math class, or I didn't pay attention in any class, but certainly not math and geometry. But I had my geometry book, and I was so caught up in Friday Night Lights that I put the Friday Night Lights book inside my geometry book and just kind of held it, you know, close like this so I could read while Miss Lodge was up there teaching. And I just got lost in the book, and all of a sudden I just sent somebody looking over my shoulder, and sure enough, Miss Lodge, she was standing right in front of me watching me read Friday Night Lights, but she was none too happy about it. But this theme, okay, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. It speaks of focus and discernment. Full hearts speak of passion and commitment. And when you have these clear eyes and full hearts, you can't lose. That theme that was made famous by Friday Night Lights, the TV show, I feel like Paul is saying that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. It's actually a prayer that Paul prays. What he's going to pray for these Ephesians believers, and by extension, this is a prayer that we need to be praying into our lives, is that we would have eyes to see, clear eyes, all that we have in Christ and because of Christ. Now, much of what Paul prays for in verses 15 through 23 is a review of what we went over last week. And so if you missed last week's message, I really do encourage you to go back and listen to it, because these messages build on top of one another. Paul's going to add an additional truth that he wants us to see clearly, that he wants us to know in and walk in. And here's the thing, if God answers Paul's prayer request. To see clearly these truths, what I'm calling realities that are ours in Christ, then truly, you'll see by the end of today's message, if we can see clearly these three realities that are ours, we will have full hearts and we can't lose. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. The Bible says this: "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." I want you to remember from last week, this is probably been 7 or 8 years since Paul has spoken to the church in Ephesus. He's in prison, and there's no question that Timothy, his son in the faith, who is leading the charge there in Ephesus, has been bringing him a report as to how this church is doing, and it seems that Paul is very encouraged by what he's hearing. In fact, he has not ceased to pray for them, and he is giving thanks for them. And look at what he's heard about them. It's quite a testimony for a church to have. Paul has heard of their faith and their love. I mean, this should be a testimony of every church that's faithfully following Jesus, that faith in Christ should be increasing, as well as love toward brothers and sisters in the faith family. As we grow vertically in our faith in Christ, we ought to be growing horizontally in our love for one another. These two things go hand in hand. And this is what's happening in the church in Ephesus. And Paul is rejoicing upon hearing this report. He never ceases, he says, to give thanks to God in prayer. Now, I just want to pause right here and just ask a question of application to us as a church. I wonder what we're known for. Like, if someone was to come and, I don't know, spend a few weeks with Champion Force, maybe a half a year with us, what report would they bring? What would be said of us? Let it be our desire, Champion Force, that what would be said of us is the same as that is said the church in Ephesus, that when people look at us, they say, that's a church full of believers who are increasing in their faith. I mean, look at what they're believing God for. Look at what they're trusting the Lord to achieve. Look at what they're attempting to do for this, for the sake of his honor and his name. Look at their faith. Let us be known for that. Let us be known for our love. Look at how they care for one another. Look at how they serve one another, how selfless they are, how they empathize and walk with one another. Let this be our testimony: faith in God and love one for another. Paul, he's not just giving a prayer on a whim. He's moved by this. This is a passionate, continuous prayer. He does not cease to give thanks and remember them in his prayer. And then he lets them know exactly what he is praying for. And he has a request that he makes, and he prays that they would have clear eyes to see three realities that are true in their life. First is that we would have clear eyes to see our hope. Look at verse 17 and the first part of verse 18. He's been asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Clear eyes. It's one thing to see with your physical eyes. It's another thing to see with your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your heart. That simply means the inner man, the totality of your being. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, clear eyes, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. So Paul prays first that the eyes of our hearts, we'd have clear eyes, spiritual eyes, that we may be enlightened to see this hope to which we have been called. Now, the opening of the eyes spiritually, to see from the heart, is something only God can do. That's why he prays for a spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Only the Holy Spirit can make the blind see. Only the Holy Spirit can give spiritual wisdom and revelation. Only the Holy Spirit can remove the veil and open the eyes of our heart to see spiritual truth and enable us to live in these spiritual realities. And what Paul prays here, what he desires, is that God by his Spirit would help these believers in Ephesus to see the hope to which he has called him. Now, that's a great word, that word hope there. It's a steady word. It's an anchor word. It means a confident expectation. And what is this hope? It references back to verse 12, which refers to all that we have in Christ. We are the first, look at it, to hope in him because of the salvation that we have in him. Now, just recall what we talked about last week. I'm going to put all of these on the screen for you to see. This is what we said is essentially, if you want to wrap up the hope of our calling, it's wrapped up in these six blessings: that we are chosen, adopted, redeemed, enlightened, that we have an inheritance, that we have been sealed. This is who we are, and this is all that we have in Christ. And Paul is praying that we as believers, that we would see very clearly, that we would be aware of this hope that is ours in Christ, that it would be a reality in our life. It seems that part of what is motivating Paul to pray this is a fear that we could have these blessings, like from strictly a fact standpoint, they are ours, they are a reality, they are an objective truth. But there seems to be this fear that Paul is writing from, that they could be ours from a factual standpoint, but we not really know and walk in them. In other words, that we're not experiencing what is ours to the fullest. This word hope, again, it has to do with a confident expectation. And Paul says, I want you to know the hope that is yours. That word know means to pay attention to fixate on, to put at the forefront of your mind. It's something that we never lose sight of. I was trying to think of an illustration this week, and the best I could come up with is Brent Johnson, who's on our staff. If you know him, he serves as our senior adult pastor, works with the biblical literacy class, and Brent's kind of a can-do guy. You see him all over the place serving and doing things, but he's constantly looking at his phone. If you don't see him looking at his phone, he's usually got a Coke or a candy bar in his hand, okay? And the reason he does is because he's a diabetic, and he's got to regulate his blood sugar. It's connected to an app on his phone. I don't know how he's hooked up, but he's always looking at it. And it's always at the forefront of his mind. He's always thinking about it. It's urgent. I mean, it's life and death for Brent Johnson. Well, from a spiritual parallel, this is what Paul is telling the church in Ephesus. This is what he's praying for them. He's saying, listen, this is urgent. I need you to put this hope, what you have in Christ and because of Christ, all of these blessings, the totality of your hope in Christ, I need it at the forefront of your mind. I need you constantly paying attention to it. He's going to tell us why it's so important. We'll get to that and work it out in the practical application at the end. But look at the second reality that Paul prays for the Ephesian believers to know and walk in, and by extension, us. He wants us to see clearly our hope. Next, he prays that we would see clearly our inheritance. Look at verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know, pay attention to, at the forefront of your mind, what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, scholars debate what this inheritance is referring to. Is it a reference back to verse 14, speaking again of what we talked about last week, this future inheritance that we have with Christ, where we will live with him forever and ever and ever, a place that we call heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. That's our future inheritance. Others believe that this is referencing believers being God's inheritance himself, meaning we not only get an inheritance, but we are God's inheritance. Both are equally beautiful to think about, but I'm gonna lean toward Paul speaking of inheritance in the same vein as last week, that we have stored up for us that is a reality right now, kept in the future, confident expectation that we will be with Christ and we will rule and reign with him one day forever and ever in eternity. That is our inheritance. We are co-heirs with Christ. And Paul says, I want you thinking about your inheritance. Have you ever heard this statement? Some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. Heard that statement before? Paul would totally disagree with that statement. It'd be foreign to him. It seems that he wants us thinking on and seeing more clearly than anything else what is ours in Christ. It seems that he wants our minds. He wants the eyes of our heart looking above, fixated on that future inheritance that is already a reality in our life. It's interesting, many see the book of Colossians and Ephesians as parallel books. They're written around the same time and carry some of the same themes. Many feel like when Paul was writing from one, he was pulling from the other. We don't know which was first, but a lot of the same themes. Listen to what Paul writes to the believers, the church in Colossae, around the same time he was writing the believers in the church in Ephesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Paul knows the battlefield for our life is the mind, and he wants these believers seeing clearly, and you can only see these things with the eyes of your heart. You can't see hope with your physical eyes. You see it with the eyes of your heart. You can't see your inheritance with your physical eyes, not what's awaiting you, but you can see it with your heart. Our hope, our inheritance, these things are above. And so Paul says, put your mind on things above. Think about what's above. What is Christ is mine. We are co-heirs. Our inheritance is certain in this coming world. And Paul desperately wants us to see this and get our mind on it because he knows the more heavenly minded we are, the more earthly good we will do. And so he wants us to see clearly our hope. He wants us to see clearly our inheritance. And then third, he prays that we would see clearly with the eyes of our heart. He's saying, Spirit of God, give them a spirit of wisdom and discernment and revelation. Show them very clearly to see their power. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 19 through 23. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Counting today, we are 7 weeks away from Easter. And our team was meeting this week, just talking about the Easter services that are coming up. If you've been around here, you know we like to punch it up a little bit on Easter, make it super special. It is the greatest day of the year. I mean, this is the World Series, the Super Bowl, the NBA Championship, and whatever other sport, all combined into one, all right? It's Easter. And so we put a lot of time and effort and energy into planning out this service. We want to make it super special. And they were telling me about what they were doing, and I was hearing their plans and getting excited about it, and I started thinking, you know, I can't wait to preach that day. And just spoiler alert, what I'm going to preach that day is on the resurrection, all right? That's what I'm going to preach on Easter. I'm getting excited about it. Well, it's the resurrection, and if you ever come on Easter and I don't preach on the resurrection, get rid of me, all right? Usher me out the door. I've lost it, all right? Now, it's the resurrection that is at the center of this prayer request that Paul is making right here. He's asking God by his Spirit to awaken in these believers. Remember what we said last week? I mean, that's essentially what Ephesians chapter 1 is. It's Paul shaking the believers by their shoulders and saying, wake up. You've got these spiritual realities. They are yours in Christ. You have a hope. You have an inheritance. And then he's going to say, you have this power in you. Now notice, the power that raised Christ from the dead, that's verse 20. That same power seated Jesus far above. Five times the word all is mentioned. You can circle it five times. All rule, authority, power, dominion above every name that there is, every name to come. That resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead and exalted Christ to the highest of high, to the most exalted of all places, that power, according to the Apostle Paul right here, is at work in those who believe. That power is in you. We talked about being immeasurably blessed last week. Well, we could have titled this immeasurably empowered, but I like clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose better, okay? Now, put all of this together. How does this help me? Monday through Friday. I want you to think about what Paul said up to this point. He's moved in verses 3 through 14 for praising God for these spiritual blessings. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. I mean, he's just praising God. To now, verses 15 through 23, he's praying that we would fully know, be aware of, keep at the forefront of our mind these blessings. Our hope, our inheritance, our power, those three realities that Paul is praying for encapsulates everything that we talked about last week. It's a summary of all that we talked about as it relates to what we have in Christ. So why is Paul so adamant? Why is this at the top of Paul's prayer concerns? That we would see clearly with the eyes of our heart, that Spirit of God, you will enable these believers in Ephesus and by extension, all of us today, this is what we need to be praying. Why is it so important that we would see clearly with the eyes of our heart, our hope, our inheritance, and our power? The reason that Paul's so passionate about this and why he makes it the subject of his prayers is because he knows, watch this, he knows that if, believer, you ever wrap your mind and heart around these truths, if you ever grab a hold of these realities, if you do what Paul is praying here and the Spirit of God answers the prayer to keep our hope and our inheritance and our power at the forefront of our mind, you know what that means? That means you will never be defeated. Paul knows it. And so he prays, Spirit of God, let him see this clearly. Let me work this out practically for you right after I take a drink of this water right here, okay? Let me work this out practically for you. I'm giving you everything I got today. I'm not gonna be able to talk for a week, but I'm giving it to you today, all right? I'm giving you everything I got. Thanks. I've been laid out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I just got back to feeling like a normal person yesterday, okay? If I shook your hand before the service, it's over. You're not gonna get sick. I'm good. Now, how does this practically help, all right? You're assaulted every day. Fears, recurring sins, guilt, negative emotional baggage. I mean, every day you're assaulted with these things, either by the enemy or just the circumstances of life, the sin nature. How does this help? Let's think of it this way. Take whatever it is that's causing you fear. Fear of what people think of you. Fear of what someone can do to you. Fear of a diagnosis that you got. Take the greatest fear in the world, death. And what does Paul pray? Spirit of God, open their eyes so that they can see clearly the hope of their calling. you have nothing to fear. You write the words hope across whatever it is that you fear. And the greatest fear in all the world, it does not hold up against hope. And so he says, Spirit of God, let them see it, and let them see it very clearly, this whole idea of hope. What about just feelings of insignificance? Condemnation. Don't feel like you can do anything right. Don't feel like God can ever forgive you. And it's just this, it's just these feelings of not being valued, not being loved. Perhaps you were abused, neglected as a child, abandoned, whatever it may be, and you just struggle with this whole idea of acceptance. What is Paul praying? God, let them see clearly. Open the eyes of their heart, God, so that they can know they have an inheritance. You don't get an inheritance unless you're a co-heir. You're chosen. You're redeemed. You're adopted into God's family. Don't tell me you're not loved. Don't tell me condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You're part of the family of God. You have an inheritance. Paul says, show them. Let it be at the forefront of their mind, because when we know and we're certain, we're confident of our inheritance, my goodness, nothing can stop us. What about besetting sins? You got a sin in your life, man, you just can't kick. It's a habit, and you've tried everything, and you just can't say no to the sin, and you feel so defeated. Spirit of God, open our hearts today. Open the eyes of our heart so that we could know, experience, pay attention to, have at the forefront of the mind your power that is at work in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and that exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, that name, that power that did that lives and works in me. What sin can't you say no to when the power of the resurrected Jesus lives in you? And so we pray, God, open the eyes of my heart so that I can know and see clearly my hope, my inheritance, and the power that I have because of who you are in my life. And so,
thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.